thanks, Troy, for leading us in those songs.
My little brother, as he's grown, I've noticed that he's becoming a lot like me. I mean, in some instances, in some ways, anyway, he's different than I. You know, he tried song leading for a little while, and honestly, I don't think he really likes song leading, but he did try it. But in other ways, he's like me, and I can sort of see or I can tell that he wants to be like me. There was one time whenever I was back home in Beaumont. My cousin was with me because he lived with us then. He moved to Texas. He was from Louisiana, but he had moved to Texas to get a job here and work here. And we were talking, a couple years ago about a show called Dragon Ball Z. If you know what that is, you're pretty awesome. But it was a show called Dragon Ball Z, and we were talking about just how we liked the show, just the progression, the characters. And my brother was in there, and he was listening. And it probably wasn't any longer than a week later where my brother was like a scholar on Dragon Ball Z. He knew everything about it from that point on. He started watching it, and I think it's because he wants to be like me, and he wants to be like my cousin, Tyron. As a matter of fact, he asked me, I don't know, about 6 months ago, he asked me to teach him how to code, to build software, and that's something I got interested in, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. I learned how to code, taught myself. I got interested in information security, so he wanted me to teach him how to code, and it's like he's following in my footsteps. It's like wherever he goes, or wherever I go, excuse me, he's right there behind me. And the reason I bring all this up is because I believe this is what Jesus wants from us. Our study this evening is going to be in Luke chapter 9. Go ahead and open up your Bible to Luke chapter 9. In this context, it contains a story I like to call the follow me story. We're going to read verse 57. Luke chapter 9 and verse 57. It says, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, that is Jesus, someone said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. I think this guy has the right idea, at least initially. This is what Jesus expects of us. We are to follow him. We are to be his followers. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to talk about following Jesus wherever he goes. And we're going to talk about something that we need to understand if we're going to be followers of Christ. Now let's go back to Luke chapter 9. We're going to read verse 57 again, and we'll keep going. Luke chapter 9, starting in 57, it says, as they were going along the road, someone said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So this guy says, well, Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus sort of responds in this unexpected way. He essentially tells the guy, he says, you don't know what you're asking. You don't know what it really means to follow me. You don't know, you don't have the right expectations. In other words, he's saying, you haven't counted the cost. And that's something we need to understand if we're going to be followers of Christ. We've got to count the cost. You know, this probably wasn't what this disciple was hoping to hear. You know, if this disciple had sort of this skewed image of Jesus' mission like the apostles did, this disciple was probably expecting something a little different. He was probably expecting Jesus to do great things, to conquer kingdoms, to have a very high social status with a lot of wealth and live in palaces. But what Jesus tells this man is that the animals are in a better position than he is. You see, this man, this disciple, he needed to know what he was getting into. He needed to count the cost. And this is something that Jesus has focused on in this context of Luke chapter 9. And Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, it says, and he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow after me. Jesus is saying, you've got to count the cost. As a matter of fact, later on in Luke, whenever he says this phrase again about carrying the cross, he mentions that he says, which one of you builds a tower and does not first calculate the cost? See, the idea is we've got to know what it means to follow Jesus. We have to have the right expectations. We've got to count the cost. But why? Why do we need to count the cost? Why do we need to know what it means to follow Jesus? Let me give you three quick reasons why we need to do this. First of all, we need to count the cost because we can fall into a trap of fake Christianity. Some people, they don't know what it means to follow Christ, so they make their own Jesus. Some people don't know what it means to be true citizens of the kingdom or to be Christian, so they build their own Christianity and they build their own kingdom, and essentially they make their own rules. And I was thinking about this as I was looking through one of my friend's Facebook pages. This is a friend of mine who passed away about a year ago, and I was just looking through his Facebook page, sort of going through the comments, and there were a lot of comments. Some people were saying, you know, you're probably having a good time in heaven, you're in a better place, and just all of these things along that line. And I don't mean to refute that, because I'm not God, I'm not the judge, and God is the one who's going to ultimately decide everyone's eternal destiny. But it was interesting, because this is something that you see just in general. It doesn't matter who it is. When someone passes away, well, they're always in a better place, right? When people pass away, everyone goes to heaven. Isn't it interesting that no one ever goes to hell? No one ever says, well, they're in a worse place. No one says that. And part of that is probably because, you know, people are being sensitive. But I think the other part of that is people truly believe that no one goes to hell. I believe that the larger portion of the religious world believes that. See, those people, they don't know what it means to be a Christian. They don't know what it means to follow Christ. Because Jesus says that there are people on the path that leads to life, but he also says that there are people on the path that leads to destruction. See, we need to count the cost. We need to know what it means to follow Jesus so that we don't fall into the trap of fake Christianity. But we also need to count the cost because we can't look back. Let's look over verse 62 of chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 62. It says, Jesus said to him, no one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. What Jesus is saying here is those who look back aren't worthy. And some people look back because they haven't really counted the cost. They didn't really expect Christianity to be this way. They didn't know it'd be this hard. So they missed the life that they used to have. Jesus says it shouldn't be this way. Reminds me a bit of Lot's wife. You know, Lot's wife, whenever they leave Sodom and Gomorrah, God's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and they leave Sodom and Gomorrah, and she looks back. Well, why'd she look back? She looked back because she missed the life that she had back in Sodom. Luke tells us a little bit about this. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, we're going to start reading from verse 28 or so. Luke chapter 17, verse 28, this is Jesus speaking. It says, it was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just the same on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, the one who is on the housetop and whose goods are in the house must not go down to take them out. And likewise, the one who is in the field must not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. And then verse 33 helps us to see this. Verse 33, whoever seeks to keep his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I think what Jesus is saying here is that Lot's wife, she was looking back at the life she used to have. She wanted to keep that life that she used to have, and that's why she looked back. She missed the world that she left behind. Ladies and gentlemen, if we're missing the world that we have left behind, then we have the same heart issue that Lot's wife does. And what we're ultimately saying is God isn't good enough. See, we need to count the cost because we can't look back. But also, we need to count the cost so that we're ready. Because those who aren't ready tend to fail. We see this with sports teams. or with teams just in general. That's why teams practice. That's why sports teams spend a lot of time practicing so that they're ready, so that they know what to expect when the time actually comes. And we see this with police officers and special units like SWAT. They practice all the time so that when the time comes and they need to go through the door, they know what to expect. You know, if you were reading one of the books on when Bin Laden was killed, and the reporting is accurate, you see that the special forces soldiers, they spent a lot of time practicing. They even built like a simulated compound that was supposed to be similar to Bin Laden's compound, and they practiced. Why? Because that was a mission they couldn't fail. And they practiced and practiced so that they would be ready for whenever they went through the door. Ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to our souls, we cannot fail. We've got to be ready. And it's important that we count the cost so that we are. So I've spent a little bit of time, about 11 minutes so far, talking about counting the cost, talking about knowing what it's like or knowing what it means to follow Jesus, talking about things that we should expect. Or why we should have the right expectations. Let's spend the rest of our time here tonight talking about some things we should expect in our walk with Christ. Let's go back to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, we're going to start from verse 57 again, and we're just going to read to the end of the chapter. Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 57, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father." But he said to him, "Allow the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God." Another also said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home." But Jesus said to him, "No one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." In these verses, there are a number of people who want to follow Jesus. But they also want something else. One of them wanted to go and bury their father. Another of them wanted to go say goodbye to their family. And what Jesus ultimately tells them is that if you're going to be a follower of me, and you sometimes have to give up your wants. And that's number one. That's one of the expectations we should have being a follower of Christ. We should expect to give up our wants. Now notice these things that we saw at the end of Luke chapter 9. These things were what we would call important things. Right? As a matter of fact, there are many in the ancient world who would call these things needs. You know, if you live in an honor or shame culture like they lived in, where you have to bring honor to your parents and honor to your family, then you need to go and bury your father. To them, they would have needed to go and say goodbye to their family. This wasn't an irrational request. You know, this reminds me a little bit of when Elijah was choosing a successor. Let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. This is when Elijah meets up with Elisha. We're going to start reading from verse 19. It says, "So he departed from there," that is Elijah, "departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, while he was plowing with 12 pairs of oxen before him, and he was with the 12. And Elijah passed over to him and threw his mantle on him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Please let me kiss my father and mother, then I will follow you.' And Elijah said to him, 'Go back again, for what have I done to you?'" See, Elijah understood that this was an important request. So these requests that the disciples were making in Luke chapter 9, they were rational. They were important requests. What Jesus is saying is, following him is more important. Now, Jesus said some hard things. These were hard statements. "No, don't bury your father. Follow me instead." You know, I wonder if sometimes we draw a line in the sand. You know, I'll follow Jesus, unless it costs me my relationship with my family. I'll follow Jesus unless it costs me my relationship with my friends. The fact of the matter is, sometimes we are going to have certain wants, and we're going to have to choose following Jesus over those wants. Sometimes someone is going to wrong us, and we're going to get angry, and we're going to want to get even because they hurt me, and I want to hurt them. But we know that vengeance is for the Lord. Sometimes there's going to be something else going on, and I just want to skip services. It's only one service, and this is a once in a lifetime kind of thing. And I want to go. We've got to choose following the Lord over our wants. See, the question is, are we going to allow our wants to control us, or are we going to do God's will? You know, I think to myself sometimes how different the human story would have been if Adam and Eve would have chosen following God over their wants and desires. Go back to Genesis chapter 3, and whenever we see Eve looking at the fruit, she says it was good and it was desirable to make one wise. How different would human history have been if Adam and Eve had put aside their wants and desires in order to follow Jesus? I imagine that there aren't many in the religious world who'll say something like this. I would imagine most preachers get in the pulpit and they'll say something like, God wants you to do you. He wants you to do what you want, live a happy life, make your own rules. That's the message to preach, right? If you want visitors, you want people to come back, you don't want to step on any toes, that's the message to preach. But it's not what Jesus says. It's not what we see from the early Christians. See, there are costs to following Jesus. One of those is we should expect to give up our wants. But there's one more. There's one more. We're going to be in Luke chapter 10. And I think this is kind of missed, so I want to focus on this for a little bit. Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, in the first 16 verses or so, we see that Jesus sends out disciples to go and preach about the kingdom. And when they come back to Jesus, they're pretty happy about it. They had a great experience. As a matter of fact, let's pick up here chapter 10 and verse 17. It says, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. You see, for these 70 disciples who went out, the 70 disciples who were following Jesus, that was a good experience for them. That was a great experience for them. And I think there's a reason why Luke includes this story after the follow me story. I don't necessarily think that these stories are in chronological order here. I think this is a thematic thing. I think what Luke is saying is, if you follow Jesus, you should expect good times. And that's my second point. Things we should expect when we follow Jesus. Yeah, we should expect to give up our wants, and we should expect hard times, but we should also expect good times. Imagine being the guy who followed Jesus instead of burying his father, and then and going through that amazing moment where you're out teaching people, you're converting people, you have power over demons. Imagine how good that must have felt. It made following Jesus worth it. That's true for us also. We're also going to have good times in our walk with Christ. There are going to be times where we just go home smiling because we just came home from this great singing where there were hundreds of people worshiping God together and uplifting one another. That's a great moment. We're going to have times where we're joyous, we're crying with joy because our son or our daughter finally made the important decision to follow Christ. Now, we probably won't have power over demons or serpents or be able to heal anyone. That'd be kind of cool. We're probably not going to have that. But God will take care of us. We will have good times if we follow the Lord. But we do need to be careful. We do need to be careful when the good times come that we're not overly prideful. like Jeff preached on a couple of weeks ago. We need to, when the good times come, we need to make sure that we're not saying, well, look at what I built with my power in my hand. Jesus talks a little bit about this anyway in Luke chapter 10. Let's read verse 20. Verse 20, Jesus says, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven." What Jesus is saying is, instead of rejoicing at the things that you've done, rejoice in what God has done for you. See, Jeff talked about King Nebuchadnezzar a couple weeks ago. He didn't get that. When the good times came, he did not remember God. He forgot about God. Sometimes I fear we can be that way also. And Jesus tells us that pride and prideful people won't be a part of his kingdom. Let's continue reading verse 21. It says, "At that very time, he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, 'I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight.'" See, Jesus says the humble are going to be a part of the kingdom. See, ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to be followers of Christ, we've got to count the cost. We should expect to give up our wants. We should also expect good times. You know, I mentioned my little brother earlier, and I enjoy watching him grow. I'm happy that he wants to be like me and that he likes some of the things that I like, but I also have a fear. Fear that he might take the same or make the same choice that many other young people have made, the choice to not follow the Lord. You know, it's great that he wants to be like me, but I hope that he chooses to follow God. And I hope the same for you. Because if you follow the Lord, you should expect to give up your wants. Yes, you should expect good times, but if you follow the Lord, you should expect salvation in the end. Maybe there's someone here tonight who wants that salvation. Maybe there's someone here tonight who's counted the cost, and you're ready. You're ready to follow the Lord. Well, we can help you with that tonight. Or maybe there's someone else who's wandered off the path that we talked about earlier. Jesus says the path that leads to destruction. Maybe there's someone who's wandered off of that path, and you want to come back home. Oh, we'd love to help you with that also. Whatever you need, you come now as we stand and as we sing.